Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James, joined once again by my co-host, fresh off another victory in softball, Cody. How are you today, Cody?
Oh, it's Victory Monday for me, my friend. Softball, we won 21-20. I don't want to say this, but we were up 21-13 at the top of the last inning, and we almost let them come back. But it was a good game, fun times. I'm phenomenal, man. How are you?
I'll tell you what, it's been a good week in the podcast world. Downloads are doing well. That puts me in a good mood every day.
And we got two new Facebook likes.
Man, I love seeing that. We're up over 200. These guys are trying to get us to 250. Tell your friends because I want to see it. Patrick Grutkowski and Harry Harper, welcome to the family. Great to have you along. Feel free to give us any feedback. Five-star reviews are highly encouraged, and you'll get shouted out again if you do it.
Shouted out again for sure. We are on part seven of a seven-part series going over the top draft picks in Steelers history by round. We obviously started off with the seventh round and later, and then now we've made it all the way to the first round. But before we do that, let's talk some stuff. Preseason games, one and four were canceled. I think they might have even canceled. Did they cancel all of them yet?
Not yet.
It's
no,
close.
But after the news broke about that, the players' union has actually voted in favor of canceling all the preseason games. The owners have the final say in that one, so that may not happen. We'll see how the next couple weeks go. That's going to tell us a lot if people are able to follow social distancing and the numbers start going back down again. Well, then we might get some preseason action. Otherwise, I wouldn't expect it.
Yeah. That's hopefully – I still want preseason games.
I want
preseason games.
God, how are you supposed to know if any of these guys are worth keeping, man? I mean, you know the top, like, 45. But those last few guys and how you figure out your practice squad, the preseason games are everything with that. You've got to have them.
Listen, the players are tough. They'll make it work. I'm sure they'll make it work. Listen, speaking of tough guys, Bill Cowher's a tough son of a gun.
Yeah.
Him and his wife both have already tested positive for COVID back in April.
And recovered fully.
So that was awesome news to hear. Thanks, Cowher, for making it. I want to see you on Sunday on the TV when we're watching football. But yeah, so that was awesome to see that someone made it through in the football world. And we have players right now that are dealing with it.
Yeah.
Staying healthy.
But nice to see an older guy like that, too. I mean, Bill Cowher's no spring chicken. I bet you that COVID got a taste of his jaw and said, nope, I'm out of here, man. This jaw's way too tough. I'm out.
Just spit it out. Tasted it and spit it out like he did yelling on the sidelines. That was great.
Cowher's way too tough, man.
Oh
hey, back
gosh.
To those preseason games that were canceled real quick. My thought process on this. So 1-4 is canceled, right?
Correct.
This gives you an idea for what you're going to have. So it gives them a little cushion before and after to get a dry run on what it's going to look like in the regular season.
That's fair.
Because now you're going to have back-to-back games. So you figure game two, which would be the first game technically, people are going to be exposed to each other. People are going to be playing that you didn't realize were sick. They're going to test them twice a week. You're going to find a bunch of players sick in between there that weren't before. And you're going to see if you're able to still field a full team. How many people are getting sick? Are you losing a couple guys on a team? Or are you losing 10 guys on a team?
Some of these guys could have already had it and just not known.
Absolutely.
Like, so many people that I know got super sick, probably had it, and never got tested or anything. So I agree with that. That's a good thought. It's a dry run for the season. So
plus, then it gives you a two-week break in between. Because there's no fourth week of games. They're not bumping up the first week of the regular season. So that's still going to happen at the same time. So you have 2 weeks to try to get anyone that was tested positive in those two preseason games to recover and be back to being able to play again.
Yeah, that's great. Let's talk more about players. James Conner.
Yeah, James is at it again, man.
He's something else.
We talked about this last week.
We did.
We said he said something about big things coming. We didn't know what it was. He hadn't announced
it. Who knows?
Anything.
Maybe this still wasn't it, but I think it could be.
This is definitely it, man.
He bought his mom a house.
That's awesome.
That's so cool. If you haven't seen the video, it's not long or intensive. It's just short clips. They have welcome home and big gold balloons on the one wall, and she walks in, doesn't even know James was there, and then realizes that he was there, like, freaks out because she saw him, and then she looked behind him and saw the welcome home, and she had to go back outside and cry. Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now, man. That's the dream, is to buy your mom a house. Every young boy's dream is to take care of their mom. So, awesome to you, James. Congrats. super excited for your mom. My wife actually worked with her for a while before she switched jobs. So, yeah, she's an awesome lady. Worked at the same Erie County Care Management. Awesome place to be. But speaking of buying houses.
So, apparently, this must have been a topic of conversation during workouts because Juju decided to do the same. Just hit social media today. He posted a video, surprised his mom, and the whole family bought a house for them. They were saying, no way. And he's like, yeah, here's the keys. And he opened up the front door. Here you go.
Got to pass along that good juju.
Yeah, just incredible. You know, you don't typically see this. I mean, every now and then you see pretty cool things with players taking care of their parents and whatnot. I remember years ago, Bob Sanders, who's also from Erie, bought his parents a house. I don't think it made the big news like this, but he bought them a nice house in a nice area away from the city. And yeah, so here it goes. The tradition continues. James Conner also from Erie does it. And then his best workout buddy Juju does the same thing, man. Just great to see young kids of character doing this sort of thing.
Yeah. Awesome. And speaking of, Juju's streaming right now on Twitch as we're recording this. We tried to hop in and say hi to him, but I'm not sure if he saw the comment. But with that being said, let's move on. We are going to discuss the best first round draft picks. And at the end, if you don't know already, if you haven't listened to one of the shows, James and I will rank our top five of the first round draft picks in Steelers history. But we're going to start off with the most recent ones in 2019. He's noticeable because of the rookie year he had. It's almost rookie of the year worthy, or it is, but unfortunately he didn't get it. Devin Bush drafted him first overall, 15 starts last year. Phenomenal.
Really played his butt off, man, honestly. Tore it up in the beginning half of the season. Seemed like maybe he slowed down a little bit in the second half of the year. But honestly, these kids, man, we talk about it all the time. Their rookie year is tough because they go straight from playing in deep into the playoffs oftentimes. Not really the case for Michigan this year. But, you know, they play, and then there they go into their all-pro game, you know, whether it be an East-West game or a Senior Bowl game. Then they go straight to the combine and they're working out there, and then they're working out all off season because they typically have a pro day to go to, and then it's straight into the draft and rookie mini camps and then the training camp. They don't get a chance to rest.
No, not at all.
So it's a really long time before their body finally gets a rest, and they oftentimes hit the rookie wall. I'm not saying that's what happened to Devin Bush, but he did have a heck of a year, man. When you look at two interceptions with four pass breakups, a forced fumble, four fumble recoveries, took one of them to the house, had a sack, and 109 tackles for a rookie middle linebacker. I mean, you're basically the general of the defense. You're telling everybody where to be. That's tough, man.
Yeah, phenomenal rookie year. I remember that fumble recovery he took in because everyone thought it was a dead ball. He picked it up and just scampered
on. It looked like
he
was running the wrong way.
It was so funny.
And I won't forget, you know, one of the things that you look for in rookies to see, yeah, what kind of prospect do you have here? Is he got the football IQ or just athleticism? I will never forget when a running back went in motion out of the backfield to the bottom of the screen. It was his right, defense's left. Devin Bush comes in motion with him, and the defense was designed for the corner to kick out because he went all the way to the end. He grabbed Joe Hayden and said, no, stay inside on the wide receiver. He went out on the running back, and Joe Hayden broke up the pass because it was thrown to the wide receiver.
Yep, that was a great way to understand that you were going to get – they were just going to get a better matchup, and that's what they were trying to do.
They offensively schemed it to get a matchup advantage, and Devin Bush just made sure people were on the right people.
Yep.
As a rookie, and he's telling a guy that's been in the league almost 10 years. That's great.
That's called courage, my friend.
Yeah.
And confidence all at the same time. Next, we're going to go back to 2017 and talk about TJ Watt. Turned down for what?
Not this guy, that's for sure, man. Two Pro Bowls already a first-team All-Pro. 47 starts in 47 games that he's played in.
Impressive.
177 tackles already. 70 quarterback hits.
That's a lot of hits, boy.
Wow. 15 forced fumbles already with four fumble recoveries. All of them last year.
Yeah. That's 15. like, I don't think people will realize that 15 forced fumbles is a lot in 3 years.
In 3 years? Five every year?
That's it. I mean, you want to talk about defense wins championships. Turnovers are key, and forcing those fumbles, oh, man. I just remember T.J. Watt once this year tried to punch down at the ball, got one of the quarterbacks in the goodies.
That was the Bengals QB, I think. Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, no.
Couldn't offend well at all. But, yeah, diving into this, Cody noticed that actually he only forced one fumble his rookie year, so that's averaging seven each of the last 2 years per year, which is very impressive. 34.5 sacks already with 70 QB hits and 36 tackles for a loss. TJ Watt's off to an excellent start to his career. And honestly, as things go on, like if we do this list again in 5 years, we might be talking about him as one of the best ever first round picks.
Oh, absolutely. And he could be getting joined here pretty quick by his brother. That's what we want to see. JJ Watt, Yes. Welcome to Pittsburgh. We're hoping for it.
Come home to Pittsburgh. You belong here.
We can have all three Watt brothers on the same team. We would love that. Next, we're jumping back to 2014, James.
Yes. Mr. Ryan Shazier.
Ooh.
Man, it makes me sad just because of what could have been. But boy, was Ryan exciting to play the fastest middle linebacker ever to play for Pittsburgh. And Devin Bush is fast, man. But Ryan Shazier is fast. Talking two Pro Bowls in his young career with 41 starts out of 46 games played in, 7 INTs, 7 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, 7 sacks, 297 career tackles.
Woo!
If it wasn't for that injury, man, we'd be talking about a couple more Pro Bowls already, I'm sure.
Yep. Sadly, that injury, it's going to linger over, I think, Pittsburgh as a whole and us fans and obviously Ryan and his family as just a horrible accident and just so sad to see a beyond talented middle linebacker's career cut end a little short. There's been talks all the time about him, you know, coming back and playing. I don't personally see it happening. I think just the fact that he can walk and be with his family is a miracle enough and phenomenal that he can walk across the stage for the NFL draft and all the things that he's been doing with Pittsburgh and with his family. That in itself is a victory to me and for him. So, but Ryan Shazier, oh my gosh, one of the best middle linebackers I've ever seen play the sport. Next guy, we jump back to 2012 and we talk about David DeCastro. Five-time Pro Bowler already, and those were all the last 5 years. Two-time All-Pro, 111 starts in 112 games. That's pretty impressive. He only didn't start one game, so that's huge.
Yeah, and really, I think the most impressive thing about DeCastro is his athletic ability, man, because one of the things that he's well noted for is his ability to pull. And as a guard, that means that instead of just blocking a guy in front of him, he runs off to the side, left or right. So being that he lines up on the right side of the line as the right guard, he pulls to the left a lot. And when he does, it's successful because he's very athletic and he gets out there in front and just starts running people over, man. And wow, so many times. I remember a couple of years ago they played the Bengals and the Bengals just couldn't figure out how to stop it. So they just kept on running that same play to the left side with David DeCastro pulling over and over and over, and it just went right down the field multiple times.
Listen, they made an ability in Madden for this specifically this year. So
yes.
If you haven't played the video game Madden, obviously it's about football and the NFL. But, yeah, they gave him a specific attribute or a stat or whatever you want to call it because of that.
Yes.
So that's huge. Next guy, 2011, going back just 1 year, Cam Hayward.
What a pick.
Three-time Pro Bowl already, two-time All-Pro, 99 starts in 134 games. He has 79 tackles for loss. That is huge. 30 pass breakups, and as a guy on the defensive line, that is also huge.
That's a lot for a defensive lineman.
That's just putting his big old hand up in the air and hitting the ball. Six forced fumbles with five fumble recoveries. He has 54 sacks, which is sixth all-time in Steelers history. And I believe he has 397 total tackles and 117
quarterback hits.
Quarterback hits. That's more
than
70.
That's a ton, man. So we looked at it because I know we've talked about this before, and really, Cam's coming on really strong the last few years, right? He has been very impressive. In fact, most people consider him the second best defensive lineman in the entire NFL, only behind Aaron Donald. It is very difficult to argue with that, but he's also climbing the leaderboard in Steelers history. Right now, with his 54 sacks, he is sixth highest in Steelers history, right?
Correct.
He's going to pass a few guys. Lamar Woodley only had 57 in his career. Keith Willis, 59, and Joey Porter was 60. So 6.5 sacks, and he moves into number 3 all time.
Let's do it.
I think he's got him.
I think we got a good chance. If we get through the football year, he has a good chance to get those sacks for
sure.
Yeah,
right. If there's a full year, he's doing it, period.
Yeah.
Period.
We'll jump back one more year to 2010 with who was that?
Marquise Pouncey.
The protector, the server of protecting our quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. 8-time Pro Bowls. That is huge. 2-time All-Pro. You'll realize that is a little bit of a theme in this first-round draft picks. 121 starts and played. He has started every single game that he played. That is phenomenal. I don't know what more needs to be said about him. He's been phenomenal.
I put him very similar category to David DeCastro on this as extreme athleticism. One of the things that you see time and time again with Pouncey is a play that breaks into a long play, and then he's like 30 yards down the field.
Booking it.
yeah, just out there in front of the running back somehow, 30, 40 yards down the field, blocking safeties and corners where he's getting no business doing it, but he's so doggone athletic that you just can't take it away from him, which is why he just keeps going to the Pro Bowl, man. I think that he's going to be one of those guys that's almost a shoe-in Hall of Famer when his time comes.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go back 3 more years to 2007, Lawrence Timmons.
Lawrence Timmons was a fun player, man. I remember Lawrence Timmons coming onto the team as a very athletic middle linebacker, and he was the guy that they put on the shadow against Mike Vick. He was the Vick stopper, man. Like, yeah, Vick didn't run all over the Steelers because Lawrence Timmons shadowed him, which is very impressive. He got one Super Bowl victory. He was on one Super Bowl team. One Pro Bowl, had 140 starts out of 172 games, 13 forced fumbles with 7 fumble recoveries, 12 INTs, brought one of them back to the house, 35.5 sacks, and 1,067 career tackles, which is, in case you were wondering, a boatload.
That is a boatload. I know because I was on a boat recently, and that's a boatload.
Yeah.
Oh,
imagine
man.
1,067 tackles happening on a boat you were on.
That'd be crazy. That boat would sink for sure. That Titanic 2.0. Lawrence Timmons was phenomenal. Again, I don't know what more to say. I always felt I had this weird love-hate relationship for him because I always felt like he had more.
He was that borderline guy, like almost got into the Pro Bowl every year. And then when he finally got in, he got the contract with Miami, and then he hated it in Miami so bad that he just kind of abandoned the team in the middle of the year. One of the strangest things you'll ever see. And then his career was pretty much over after that. So it really kind of stunk, man, because he was just getting going on things. And that was it. Career over just like that. Too many of these guys, you're going to see a few of them on this list where they left, and that's what happened. You know, they went on to the next team, and it just didn't turn out as well. Wasn't as home as Pittsburgh was. But speaking of home, man, Santonio Holmes, ooh, 2006 draft pick. Super Bowl MVP Santonio Holmes.
If you haven't seen it, go look it up because I'm sure you've seen it, and it's worth seeing it again. That catch
drag
in the back of the end zone.
Toe drag swag. Tony Toe Tap.
He's not Tony Toe Tap.
He
get
was
out.
The original Tony Toe Tap.
That's fair. That is fair.
Before Antonio Brown called himself that.
That is true. Phenomenal career. 91 starts in 112 games, 389 catches for 6,030 yards, 36 touchdowns. Granted, a lot of that came not with Pittsburgh after he left and realized that grass isn't always green on the other side. He went and played
always
for the Jets.
Greener at the end of your pipe.
That's also
That's
true.
That's what got him in trouble right there,
that
man.
That is what got him in trouble. But phenomenal player. I was always mad about him because he was the first Steelers jersey that I ever owned.
Oh.
And I bought it after the play against the play that he had against the Bengals. I actually bought it the day before we played the Bengals, and it went into overtime, and he had a little quick screen pass that he took to the house.
No surprise.
And I was so hyped that I was like, I got his jersey. And then he left. And so that jersey's gone. I also had Antonio Brown's jersey. I sold that at a yard sale. Somehow someone still wanted that. Whatever.
You about $3 for it?
I got 15.
Nice.
Yeah. Guy was like, my girl still likes him. And I was like, all right, you can pay 15 then. But so yeah, Santonio Holmes, phenomenal player. Sadly, just lacked the ability to, you know, stop smoking weed for a little bit and focus on football and didn't realize how good he had it in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He went from having Ben Roethlisberger to what? Mark Sanchez in New York?
Oh, God, yeah, it was awful what he had to deal with there.
Butt fumble, mister. Or Mr. Butt fumble, whatever.
Yeah, that was the funniest play in NFL history. I love that.
Oh, man.
Man, but speaking of putting a smile on your face, our next player, 2005 in the first round, the Steelers drafted Heath Miller.
The tight end. The man was phenomenal. Probably
greatest
one of the
tight end in
greatest
Steelers
tight end
history.
In Steelers history, hands down. Could change now with Eric Ebron, but we'll just have to wait and see. But two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Pro Bowler, 167 starts in 168 games.
Wow.
The man was non-injury prone or basically invincible.
Iron
just call
man.
Him Superman. Iron Man, whatever.
Yeah.
DC, Marvel, we don't care. I'm a Marvel guy, but whatever. phenomenal. 592 catches for 6,569 yards, 45 touchdowns. He's third all-time in catches in Steelers history, fourth in yards, and fifth in touchdowns. As a tight end.
As a tight end.
That's phenomenal.
And there's how many, like, there's, what, three Hall of Fame Steeler receivers? Like, and he's in the, wow, man.
That's impressive. Very impressive. Heath Miller had a phenomenal career. Speaking of the Heath Miller, the guy that kept throwing him balls, 2004, we drafted Ben Roethlisberger in the first round. We're just going to leave it at that and not talk about him. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, his story is not over yet. I think you pulled up some of his records.
I did.
NFL history records. I'm going to talk about some of the other stuff while you're getting that back in front of you here. Two-time Super Bowl champion, obviously, six Pro Bowls. Offensive Rookie of the Year, that O'Roy, that's a good trophy to have right there. 216 starts in 218 games. And we remember both those games he didn't start. One was his rookie year when the starter got injured. And then the other one a couple years ago, he was injured in the previous week, wasn't supposed to play, but he suited up because the backup sucked so bad. And the starter that started that game got injured, so he had to play.
Yeah.
That was it. Those are the two games, man. 64.3% completion rate on his career, which is fantastic. 56,545 career yards, 363 touchdowns in his career to only 191 picks.
That's phenomenal.
Great ratio.
Great ratio. Better than some of the other Hall of Fame quarterbacks we have. we'll talk about them later. His NFL records include, and they're not – there's more than this, but these are just the ones we're going to highlight.
There's a ton of them. We're telling you about the best of them.
Most regular season wins in a season as a rookie, and that was 13. Longest winning regular season win streak to start a career for an NFL quarterback with 15 games.
That's a lot.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Most wins as a starting quarterback in first five NFL seasons. He had 51. That's impressive.
Suck it, Brady.
Oh, just phenomenal things. He had most games with a completion percentage of 70% or higher his rookie season, which was six. That's a phenomenal percentage completion for sure. And then he's also the first QB to start two conference championship games in the first two seasons. That's impressive. Youngest quarterback to ever win a Super Bowl. That was impressive. Second quarterback in NFL history, along with Peyton Manning, to register three perfect passing games during the regular season, and the only quarterback to ever register two perfect passing games in one regular season. So that is absolutely phenomenal. He also had, these are the big ones, most consecutive six-plus touchdown pass games, which also led to most touchdown passes in consecutive games. He had 12 touchdown passes because he had six back-to-back. Both those games, he threw over 500 yards, which also lead to the most career 500-plus yard passing games, which he has three. Those are massive stats, and I wouldn't be shocked. I understand there's a lot of high-powered offenses, including Kansas City right now in the NFL with deep threats, but I wouldn't be shocked if that career for most 500-yard passing games sticks around for a long time. That's huge.
Yeah, that's tough to do, man. I mean, sure, you can do it in a video game, but in real life, that doesn't happen, man. So for him to have done it three times, and really in the generation that he played in his whole career, he was considered like a top five quarterback most of his career, but usually never in the top three or top four. He always had your Brett Favre or your Peyton Manning, your Drew Brees, your Aaron Rodgers, your Tom Brady. Yeah, asterisk. You know, like, he had all these guys that everybody always considered better than him.
I mean, even Philip Rivers and Eli Manning. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you mentioned
that. A lot of people thought they were better than him. That's obviously getting proven otherwise. But, man, I mean, Ben really just put a lot of his doubters to shame. And when the stage was brightest, man, he does it.
He does. He, speaking of you know, what he does. 56,000 career passing yards. He's eighth all time in NFL history.
He's about to pass some people too,
he's
right?
He's going to pass Eli Manning for sure this year if there's a full season and he stays healthy. He could even possibly catch up to Phillip Rivers depending on what Phillip Rivers does. And then once he gets up towards 60,000, he's going to pass Dan Marino. And then that's where you have the big jump from 61,000 career passing yards to 71,000 for Brett Favre. And then you got Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. But yeah, he's easily going to pass Eli and get into top seven all time.
I mean, I think this year with a healthy Ben in a full season, it would not be unrealistic to expect 4,000, 4,500 yards this year from him.
Oh, absolutely. He's also going to pass Eli Manning in career touchdowns as well because he's only three behind him. And Eli Manning obviously isn't going to be thrown anymore anytime soon. So
yeah, he's done.
Yeah. So he's going to move up to at least eighth all time. I would say seventh, but Aaron Rodgers is one ahead of him and probably going to keep throwing those. So
yeah,
phenomenal career so far from Ben Roethlisberger. And there's more to come.
Yep. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, we have more players drafted. 2003, baby. The one, the only, Polamalu.
Do, 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 do.
Polamalu.
Do, 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 do.
Troy, baby. Troy Polamalu is supposed to, I mean, he is in the Hall of Fame, but they're not going to do the ceremony this year, which is really upsetting. But Hall of Famer now, eight-time Pro Bowl, four-time All-Pro, 142 starts in 168 games. That's phenomenal. 32 career interceptions, 14 forced fumbles, three touchdowns on those interceptions, seven fumble recoveries and two touchdowns on those, 107 passes defended.
What?
That is phenomenal. 12 sacks and 783 total tackles. Man, this guy was the freak of nature, the animal, the long-haired kebab, and I don't know what to call him, man. He was just crazy.
There's a Tasmanian devil back there in the secondary, man. He's faster than everybody, and he hit you like a ton of bricks when he decided to do it. You know what I will never forget about, Troy? You're talking about those interceptions, man. Two of those three that he brought back for a touchdown were against his college roommate, Carson Palmer.
Who sadly played for the Cincinnati Bengals and had to face him two times a year.
Yeah, but he ran him over both times, man. He lowered the shoulder, him right over, put it in the end zone.
All I can think about when I think of Troy is his ability to time the snap and jump over the pile and get sacks for no dang reason. And the fact that he just was just the one-handed interceptions that he's had, the one against Kenny Britt and the Tennessee Titans, and then the other one against the Ravens in the playoffs.
Yeah, just scooping them off the ground.
And they're like, oh, no, it wasn't a catch. Oh, he got that. That's a catch. That's a catch. Yeah. I just miss seeing hair flying around in the backfield. Minka, grow your hair out, please. We want to see it. Oh, man. But, yeah, Troy, there's nothing more to say. Hall of Famer, phenomenal. Would love to watch him again. I keep thinking, I hate when I say phenomenal. Oh, well. 2002, Kendall Simmons.
Kendall Simmons, man, that was a key part of that offensive line back when the Steelers finally got going back to the Super Bowl. Was a starting guard. I don't remember right side or left side, I'm going to be honest with you. But he had 83 starts out of 86 games. A very reliable player. You didn't see Kendall Simmons get knocked on his butt. So he was very good in pass pro and in the run game. Just a solid player and an excellent first-round pick. When you get that many starts out of that many games played, and he's a key cog in the offensive line that wins two Super Bowls, you got my vote, buddy. You're one of the greatest first-round picks.
Oh, absolutely. We'll jump back only one more year, and we'll talk about the defensive tackle, probably the best one we've had in the past 20 years, Casey Hampton.
Big snack, they called him.
Big snack. He apparently wasn't a big snack when he came into the league, from what you tell me.
No, man, he weighed 298 pounds. Can you believe that?
No, because then he got super big, and then you told me something else that Mike Tomlin didn't like his weight at training camp and made him run.
This is the funniest thing ever. Now, I heard about this before I went. I always try to make it to training camp every year because it's a great experience. If you haven't done it before and you have the opportunity, you don't have to pay. It's at Latrobe Field, which is St. Vincent College, about an hour to the east of Pittsburgh. So not too far from there at all. Small, quiet town. Big open field, and you can hear the players while they're talking to each other on the field. It's a really fun experience. But anyway, Casey showed up too big that year, which you didn't think that was an option because it was his job to take up two offensive linemen. So how can you be too big? Well, he was too big. Tomlin said, get your butt out there and run every day in practice until he lost enough weight. He did laps around the practice field while everybody else was practicing. What an embarrassing thing as a professional athlete. But he lost 30 pounds.
He was able to practice. He did it.
Got back on the field and started week one.
He did it, man. Five-time Pro Bowler in his career. Two-time Super Bowl champion. 164 starts in 173 games. Four forced fumbles. Two fumble recoveries. Only 9 sacks. But again, that wasn't his job. His job was to clog the hole and let other guys do the work. He did have 39 tackles for loss, which was very impressive, and then 398 total career tackles. Phenomenal career out of a nose tackle. That's job is literally just to fill a hole and not let anyone get past you, basically. So phenomenal job, Casey Hampton. I miss seeing you running on the field. Well, mostly running on the field.
Jogging kind of slow.
Jogging kind of slow. But yeah, we're going to jump back one more year again to 2000.
Plaxico Burress, the only player on this list to shoot himself in the leg. One-time Super Bowl champ with the New York Giants, but we loved it because they beat the Patriots.
And I think that was the year. Was that the year they were undefeated? I think it was.
It might have been, yeah.
It might have been.
Might have been.
Either that or it was the David Tyree catch. I'm not sure.
So he had 138 starts over his career, 148 games that he played in, 553 catches, very impressive there, with 8,499 yards and 64 touchdowns.
This might have been the same game. Oh, well.
Plax put together a very solid career. It was just a shame he couldn't
finish it off in Pittsburgh.
I don't know. Maybe keep his gun out of his pocket, that's too. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yeah, I wish he would have stayed in Pittsburgh because he was a pretty good combination with Hines Ward.
Oh, phenomenal. And he was I think he was one of the better deep threats I've seen the Steelers have. Like, yeah, you had Mike Wallace. I really think Plaxico Burress was a better deep threat. Even the first game you ever watched when we played New England, Plaxico Burress was always going deep, and that's how we helped beat New England in Ben's rookie year for sure. Let's jump back to, what is this, 98.
I scribbled a little bit there. I apologize. Guarda Alan Faneca was drafted in the first round that
future
year.
Pro Bowler. Or Hall of Famer, excuse me.
Yeah, because I don't see how he doesn't get in the future, to be honest with you. A one-time Super Bowl champion with 9 Pro Bowls, 6 first-team All-Pros, 201 career starts in 203 games. In the last 2 years, he has been a finalist in the Hall of Fame, which means there's like 10 people getting votes, and he's one of them. So he just barely missed the last 2 years in a row. I think this year is going to be the year for him, honestly, just because he's not going to have a lot of other Steelers that are competing. Hines is still eligible, but Hines keeps on getting eliminated pretty early in the process. And Faneca honestly had a better resume than the last 2 offensive linemen that got in. So when there is a year like this upcoming year where you're not going to have a bunch of Steelers already going in, with Polamalu and Cowher and Donnie Shell, that will allow some of those voters to actually vote for a Steeler again. As to where some of them actually admitted that they didn't vote for Alan Faneca because they thought too many Steelers were already getting in.
Which isn't how it should be.
No, it's not the way it's supposed to work.
You're supposed to vote for the better player, and that's it.
Yep. Speaking of better players, man, let me tell you about one of the better players in Steelers history right now.
You going to tell him?
I'm going to tell him all about Rod Woodson.
1987 or 1997 draft.
It is rumored that this man ran in the 4-2.
Nope, this was 87. I was wrong.
87.
87 draft. That's a big jump. We went from 98 to 87.
It sucked at drafting for a while there. That's why they were no good in the 80s, bro.
Explains a lot.
80s and early 90s, the team stunk because they didn't get a good draft pick in between there. That's a hell of a gap to go from 98 to 87 before you have somebody we're willing to talk about. But Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer, one-time Super Bowl champion, unfortunately, with the Ravens. 11 Pro Bowls over the course of his career with 5 first-team All-Pros. 229 starts in 238 games, 71 interceptions in his career. I believe he's top 5 in NFL history, way up the list there. 12 of those he brought back for touchdowns with 20 forced fumbles, 32 fumble recoveries. One of those he brought back for a touchdown. 1,158 tackles with 13.5 sacks. But I'm not done. He was a hell of a return man, too. Punt returns, he had 260 punt returns over the course of his career for 2,362 yards and 2 touchdowns. Kick returns, 220 of them for 4,894 yards and 2 of those back for a touchdown.
He was a touchdown animal. to say the least. I'm just sad I never really got to see him play. At least for the Steelers, I didn't. I got to see him play for, like, I don't know, Raiders for a little bit, I guess.
That's 17 touchdowns from a defender, man.
That's a lot. That's
Are
a
you
lot.
Serious?
I'm curious how what that Whew. I'm curious where that is all time. We'll have to look that up and let you guys know, but I'm curious. Yeah.
We'll get our producers on it.
there's not much more to say about Rod Woodson other than the fact that he was a phenomenal
beast,
corner, safety, defensive player in general.
The most complete cornerback of his era. He played during the same time as Deion Sanders, and a lot of people said Deion Sanders was the better corner of the two. Deion didn't tackle, all right? He just stayed back there and went for the ball every time. He didn't tackle anybody. He'd run away from running backs sometimes. Man, Rod played so hard, he tore his ACL trying to tackle a running back. So you tell me who was a better player. I'm not too tough in my opinion.
No. So the next guy we're going to jump back to is 1984 Lewis Lips.
You know, just how they used to say Heath when it was Heath Miller, when it was Louis Lips and he caught the ball, it was Lou. I remember that, man.
But before we go too far in here, you were talking about Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders only had 512 sacks in his career, or tackles in his career, excuse me. That's
was
nothing.
Was he even on a field? I mean, he played like 15 years.
That is, yeah. So he didn't want to tackle, but that's
no,
okay. Whatever.
No.
but Louis Lips was also Rookie of the Year. He was.
That's impressive, man. Offensive Rookie of the Year. Two Pro Bowls over the course of his career. 359 catches with 6,019 yards. 39 touchdowns. He was fifth all-time in Steelers history in catches, fifth all-time in yards, and seventh all-time in touchdowns. Had a really solid career, man. He was one of the few highlights to look forward to on offense back then. It was him and Merrill Hodge. That was pretty much it. The rest of the offense was not very good. So very cool to see that they did have a couple picks there. But, I mean, as you can see with that giant gap, it was basically Louis Lips trying to hold the offense together and Rod Woodson on the defense. I mean, at least Rod had some help from Greg Lloyd and some other marquee players back in the time. But Louis really didn't have any help on offense at all.
Yeah. Next guy, we're going to jump back to 1977. Robin Cole, outside linebacker for the Steelers, one-time Pro Bowl, two-time Super Bowl champion, 131 starts in 166 games, five interceptions, 15 fumble recoveries, and 19.5 sacks. Phenomenal. I don't want to say phenomenal.
It was
a
nice career.
It was a good career. It was a solid career.
Hey, anytime you're on two Super Bowl teams and you got yourself to a Pro Bowl, you got to give the guy credit, man. It's an integral part of the 70s teams getting those final two ones back into the Super Bowl and helping them win it. So that's always a notable thing, in my opinion. A year before, 1976, they drafted Benny Cunningham, was the starting tight end for a few years for the team. Again, a two-time Super Bowl champion with 80 starts out of the 118 games he played in, 202 career catches with 2,879 yards and 20 touchdowns. But if you watch some of those Super Bowls, you'll see Benny out there, man. You'll see him smiling, making some big plays. He was a big guy, man. Big tight end for back then.
Yeah.
A lot of those tight ends were 215, 220 pounds. Benny was way bigger than that.
Those are little guys. Those are just little big wide receivers. That's all that is.
Yeah. Yeah, but back then, that's what they were, you know?
Yeah.
And Benny was a lot bigger than that, man.
Yeah, we'll jump back two more years now and go to 1974 and talk about the ballerina, the dancing man, Lynn Swann.
Woo!
Hall of Famer, four-time Super Bowl champion, three-time Pro Bowler, he just one-time All-Pro, phenomenal career. He's known for his acrobatic catches that he's made along the sidelines.
Incredible catches.
Getting tackled in the middle of the field, making catches as he's falling to the ground. Phenomenal career out of him. He had 96 starts in 116 games, 336 catches, which is sixth all-time, 5,462 receiving yards, which is also sixth all-time in Steelers history, and 51 receiving touchdowns, which is fourth all-time. He also had some 61 punt returns for 739 yards and a touchdown, and even 11 rushes for 72 yards and a touchdown. So very well-rounded player, did a little bit of everything, maybe except defense. Lynn Swann was phenomenal.
Super,
I will say phenomenal.
Super athletic guy, man, all over the field, and really a stand-up guy, too. I think he's into politics these days. So if you live in Pennsylvania and the option comes up, vote for Lynn Swann.
Vote for Lynn.
Good guy. Next guy on the list, man, you might see him in the airport next time you go through in Pittsburgh.
Franco Harris.
Known for that immaculate reception.
It was a catch.
But also his immaculate numbers.
It was a catch.
Dang right it was a catch, man. They won a game.
He wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame if it wasn't a catch. It was a catch.
That's right. That's proof in the pudding right there, man. Hall of Famer, four-time Super Bowl champion, just like Lynn Swann was. 9 Pro Bowls. O'Roy Offensive Rookie of the Year. 1 All-Pro vote. 162 starts out of 173 career games. He had 2,949 carries for 12,120 yards and 91 career touchdowns. That's 4.1 yards per carry.
That's solid.
307 catches, too, was a friggin' running back. 2,287 yards, 9 touchdowns receiving the ball. He had 100 touchdowns.
That's good. That's good. I'll give him that's good.
And he was the fullback, man. He was the feature back.
Yeah, he wasn't even classified as a halfback, which was impressive.
Back then, it was more interchangeable, though. Your halfback would be the lead blocker sometimes. That is not a thing these days.
The last guy that was like Mike Allstott. That was probably the last guy.
Yeah, and Marcus Allen before him, he was a halfback that actually blocked a ton.
Yep.
Very interesting. But Franco had an awesome career, man. Just a very, very athletic running back. To put up that many yards, we looked it up, he's 15th all-time history in the entire NFL in rushing yards and touchdowns.
Yeah, that's solid.
I mean, with as many running backs that have been through the league with extreme athleticism, especially in the last 10, 15 years, I mean, there's been a lot of amazing running backs.
Yeah, Tomlinson.
He's staying up there.
A lot of guys. Speaking of guys who didn't block, Terry Bradshaw. 1970 draft, first overall pick. Terry Bradshaw, obviously Hall of Famer, 4-time Super Bowl champion, 3-time Pro Bowler, and only 1-time All-Pro. He was also league MVP 1 time as well, but 158 starts in 168 games. 51.9% completion percentage. That's not the greatest.
Ouch.
Really not that great. 27,989 yards, 212 touchdowns to 210 interceptions. So that's a little bit worse.
that's why
where I'm gonna leave it.
That's why when people try to compare him to Ben, it's not really a conversation.
Not even close.
I mean, other than the Super Bowl wins, but he wasn't necessarily the reason.
That defense got them the Super Bowls. He made sure there were some decent points on the board.
And you know, he also had 2 Hall of Fame wide receivers and a Hall of Fame running back to throw the ball to.
Can you imagine Franco Harris, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth with Ben Roethlisberger?
Jesus.
Oh, that'd be nasty.
Wow. That would be.
And that defense back there, I just want to combine teams and just go to town. Like, dude, let's just go find a time machine. Let's bring them back.
I just got next week's topic. We're going to build our all-time Steelers team, a fantasy team.
You heard it first. We're going to make a fantasy team next week. It's going to happen.
We'll have our own individual ones, and then we'll compare and see what you guys think on it. But that's not the last first-round pick. We've got one more.
In 1969.
The man, the myth, the legend, Mean Joe Green.
Also a Hall of Famer, surprise, surprise, 4-time Super Bowl champion, 10-time Pro Bowler, 4-time first-team All-Pro, 172 starts in 181 games. He did have 1 interception, as well as 16 fumble recoveries. He was also Defensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player in the Year, 2 other years that he also played in the league. You have some other crazy stats on him.
Yeah, here we go, man. So 5-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time second-team All-Pro, 1979 Man of the Year, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year in 72 and 74, obviously, we already said Defensive Rookie of the Year, the 75th Anniversary All-Time Team, the 100th Anniversary All-Time Team, the 1970s All-Decade Team, and he had his jersey retired at both Pittsburgh and North Texas.
That's some good stuff, my friend.
And really significantly, I was talking to this about with a coworker today, Britton from work, man, big football fan. He's a Broncos fan. I won't hold it against him, though. I was talking about the history of the Steelers and how proud I am to be a Steeler fan because of what they've done for African-American rights. And Mean Joe Green was the start of it. He went to a historically black college, and the Steelers had a scout at the time by the name of Bill Nunn. And Bill Nunn, being an African-American himself, was really big into recruiting and going to these colleges that people just didn't really go to before. That's how they built those teams in the 70s. John Stallworth was another one. people didn't know about John Stallworth because he went to a smaller school that was a traditionally black school.
And we stole the tape on him.
Well, yeah. So, but this is it, man. Like, it started in 69 with Mean Joe Green. And he ended up being the best player in Steeler history, in my opinion. I'm going to just tell you that right now.
So you're telling me that he's your number one.
Yeah, but I'm going to start with number five. So we're going to say our top fives here on who we think are the best Steeler draft picks from the first round in team history. Number five for me is going to be Franco Harris, man. With all those yards, all those Pro Bowls, and all those awards, man, I really couldn't keep him out of it. Offensive Rookie of the Year, a very tough thing to get. I had Franco at number five. How about you?
I had Lynn Swann at number five. That was
tough.
Can't
blame you.
It was tough. I fought between Franco and Lynn, but I chose Lynn Swann. Maybe because I played receiver in high school, I liked the receiver position more. But also Hall of Famer, four-time Super Bowl champion. Can't argue with the stats. Phenomenal sixth or fourth all-time in all the categories for catching in Steelers history. So he's my number five. My number four is Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's not done with his career yet. I still think he has more in him. Obviously, already two-time Super Bowl champion. Went to three. Can't argue with the fact that he's going to be up there in all-time NFL history, passing yards, passing touchdowns, and all those stats. Phenomenal career out of him. Who's your number four?
My four is Mr. Troy Polamalu, man. Just a huge fan of Troy. It was so fun to watch him play. And now with him getting the due respect, getting into the Hall of Fame, not just the greatest hair of all time in Steelers history, but there he is, the greatest safety in Steelers history as well.
Well, I agree with you. That's why he's my number three. Can't argue that one bit.
And, you know, I was thinking a very similar mindset to you when I had Ben Roethlisberger as my number three. Again, the greatest Steelers quarterback in team history.
Hands down.
It's not very close, unfortunately. You know, Terry was a good leader. He got that team there. But when you look into his numbers and really dive into it, the man wasn't all that accurate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in multiple times throughout the course of his career, he almost lost his starting job. That has not happened to Ben. Ben has not even come close to losing his starting job. And when it's all said and done, I expect Ben to end up in the Hall of Fame right along with Troy and Terry Bradshaw.
Absolutely. My number two was the Hall of Famer, the maniac, the crazy stat line, Rod Woodson. I don't know what more to say about him than the 71 interceptions, all the crazy touchdowns he had, the versatile player that he was. That's why he's my number two.
Man, Rod Woodson was my favorite guy growing up. I absolutely loved him. Also my number two player, just somebody that made you want to watch football on Sundays. It didn't matter how bad Bubby Brister was playing. You still wanted to watch because Rod was so good. You still had a chance, man. He could bring it back, a punt return for a touchdown, a kick return for a touchdown, an interception for a touchdown, and you'd win 21-20. Rod was just amazing. But only thing made me nervous about Rod, when he got that interception, man, he'd carry that ball so far away from his body with one hand. Just, it was scary, man. You always thought he was going to fumble, but he never did.
Well, happy he didn't fumble. Who's your number one? We already know.
We know it's Joe Green. How can it be anybody else? The greatest Steeler in team history. And the resume to show it. Just a man among children during his time. He threw offensive linemen around like they weren't even there.
He also threw drinks to little boys on commercials.
Dang right, man. What a guy.
Yeah, Joe Green is my number one as well. Can't argue the stat line. Can't argue the defensive rookie of the year, defensive player of the years. Four-time Super Bowl Hall of Fame. We can't argue any of it. So that will conclude our 7-part series. Make sure you guys get those 5-star reviews, and we'd appreciate that so freaking much. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Steelers by the Lake. Hit us up. Let us know what you want to hear from us. Obviously, you know what we're talking about next week, and we will look forward to talking to you again. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.